learn that there is a distinct difference between forgiveness and stupidity. Forgiveness is what happens when you can honestly move past something and let it go. Stupidity is what happens when you tell someone, "I forgive you," because it's the right thing to do. But you secretly hope they drop dead right in front of you and tumble into the seventh circle of hell. That said, I do not forgive Ryan Hayes for cheating on me with my former best friend. I probably never will, and I'm perfectly okay with that. I don't want to hear any bullshit about how forgiveness helps you sleep better at night, because that's not true. My seven-layer mattress is amazing. Anyway, I received my evaluations from my associates this week, and I waited until Friday to open them. Out of a possible 5 stars, my score is a 3.8. Now, normally this wouldn't bother me, because stars are just stars, and they don't mean anything. But this year they were allowed to write anonymous comments with their ratings, and I almost went out there and fired every single one of them. Their comments went something like this. "Miss Grayson is an okay director, but she would be better if she weren't so stuck up. Miss Grayson should trust us with more work. Miss Grayson should stop trashing so many of our concepts and send them up to the board. She dresses nice, but she doesn't know much about advertising. Miss Grayson needs to realize that most of us went to Ivy League colleges and are more than capable of coming up with great campaign slogans. Didn't she go to the University of Pittsburgh? Isn't that a public school?" You know what? I'm not even going to address their dumbass remarks. I just... The new S-Phone Blue. We make Crayola jealous. Enough said. This can't be my life. Claire. Chapter 7. Claire. I called in sick to work on Monday. I didn't want to deal with Jonathan asking me any questions about me standing him up for our date, and I didn't feel like sitting through another useless brainstorming session. All I wanted to do was relax. I dimmed the lights in my bathroom and lit all my favorite candles, vanilla, honeysuckle, and amber. I tossed a few eucalyptus salts into the tub and turned on the water, squeezing generous dollops of cherry bubble bath underneath the running faucet. I'd always felt that bubble baths were the best therapy in the world. Hot water and soapy beads had a way of helping me escape to another life. A life where I could sail to anywhere I wanted. A life where I worked because I wanted to, not because I had to. I stepped into the tub and slid under the suds, letting the warm water lull me into my special place. Don't think about work. Don't think about work. I pulled my favorite purple vibrator from the side panel inside. I hit the on button, prepared to put him to work. But the doorbell suddenly rang. Ugh, why now? I figured my next-door neighbor had received my mail by accident again and wanted to personally return it, as opposed to simply sticking it in my mailbox. My neighbors were so syrupy sweet sometimes it made me sick. I waited to see if she would go away, if she wouldn't notice that my car was parked right out front. But the doorbell rang again. Damn it! I stepped out of the tub and wrapped a towel around myself. Blowing out all of the candles, I put my hair into a high, messy ponytail. "I'm coming, Mrs. Hamilton. Give me 1 second." I rushed downstairs. I opened the door and saw Jonathan standing there, looking completely irresistible. He was dressed in another, perfectly fitted suit, dark gray with an open-collared white shirt, and his stunning blue eyes shifted from my face to my towel. It seemed like he was slowly undressing me. Hello? I closed the door halfway and peeked around it. Why are you here?
Hi, he grinned. You called in sick today.
Okay, and? Do you make house visits every time an employee calls off work?
No, I just wanted to make sure you were okay.
Oh, well, I am. Thanks for stopping by. Have a great...
I actually need you to sign off on your team's designs before they can be presented this afternoon.
He held a briefcase up.
Every director has to pick a top option.
Oh my God, I forgot all about that. Why didn't I remember that the meeting with the advisors was today?
Are you going to let me in so you can see them, Miss Grayson?
He smirked. Give me a minute. I shut the door in his face. I rushed upstairs to my room and put on a pair of sweats and a baggy t-shirt. I threw my robe on over it and caught a glance of myself in the mirror. I look absolutely terrible right now. I took my time walking down the steps and opened the door. You sure this isn't about me standing you up Saturday? He smiled and walked past me.
Of course not. This is business, not personal. Do you have a table you can lay these out on?
I showed him past my unfinished hallway and ushered him into my rustic-themed kitchen. I was glad I'd cleaned up this morning. He set the suitcase on the table and looked around. His eyes met mine, and I turned away.
This is very nice.
He ran his fingers across the hanging bronze light fixture.
Who designed this room for you?
I did. I sat down and opened the briefcase. I did the paint, the crown molding, everything. It took me 2 months to get the flooring right. I had to buy it in installments.
I'm impressed.
I pulled out the first few markups and sighed. I was now convinced that I needed to find a way to quit his company in 2 years, not five. My associates didn't know shit about marketing. Actually, they didn't know shit about anything. None of their ad submissions were as terrible as the Cottonfield one, but they were still lackluster. There were even misspelled words on some of them. How hard is it to hit spell check?
You don't look too happy.
Jonathan sat in the chair next to me. I'm not. My daughters could have designed these in 10 minutes and done a better job.
Tell them we're hiring.
I rolled my eyes. They hear me complaining about my job every day. I doubt they'd be interested. I guess I'll go with this one, though. It's simple, modern, it gets the point across. We can have the art division spice it up if the chairs approve. I placed the best poster on top and placed the stack back into the briefcase. I stood up and clasped my hands together. Thank you very much for bringing this to my attention, Mr. Statham. You can go now.
Is that coffee?
He pointed to my coffee maker.
Can I have a cup before I leave?
Don't you need to get back to work? He looked at his watch.
It's 11 o'clock. The meeting isn't until 3.
Ugh, my bath is getting cold. I walked over to the cabinet and pulled out 2 mugs, making us both a cup. I didn't bother asking him how he liked his. I made it just like mine and handed it to him without sitting down.
Thank you,
he said as he took a slow sip.
How was your weekend?
You said this was a business visit.
I don't think that question... The first part was business. Now it's... personal.
He glared at me.
How was your weekend?
He set the coffee down. So he is mad about being stood up. It was, great. How was yours?
Yours was great? That sounds really interesting. What all did you do?
He narrowed his eyes at me and leaned back in his chair. Try to look away from him. Try to look away from him. I went for a long run with 2 of my friends and caught up on some work.
You know, I was having a pretty good weekend, too. I was spending my nights talking to an extremely beautiful woman. I believe I talked to her every night, and we made an arrangement. But then she stood me up on Saturday. So my weekend ended quite terribly.
Oh, really? I cleared my throat. Well, that stuff happens sometimes. It's all a part of life, young man. Live a little more and then...
I'm not sure what I should be more upset about. The fact that you keep insulting me by using my age against me. Or the fact that I sat in an empty restaurant waiting for you for 2 hours.
He waited 2 hours? Look... I'm sorry I didn't call you, I just...
The last time I was stood up for a date was...
He stood up and walked over to me.
Actually, I don't think I've ever been stood up on a date.
It's such a juvenile thing to do, don't you think?
Yes, it's quite juvenile. I can't imagine why someone would ever do that. He reached down and removed the elastic band from my ponytail, letting my hair fall to my shoulders.
You have no idea why a beautiful woman would stand me up for a date.
Maybe there's a lack of chemistry? I nearly stuttered.
No. She and I have plenty of chemistry.
Could it be that you two have nothing in common? He ran his fingers through my hair.
We talked for quite a while last week. I think we have more than enough in common.
I shrugged. Maybe she's just not that into you then.
Oh, she's definitely into me,
he smirked.
She just won't admit it, for some reason.
Well, if it were me, I would just give up and pursue someone else. She did stand you up. He tilted my chin with his fingertips so that I was looking directly into his eyes.
I'm not going to give up. She is, and I don't want to pursue anyone else.
We stood gazing into each other's eyes, and I realized that I needed to get him out of my house and get back to my bubble bath. I should use him for inspiration.
Look, I was in the middle of something very important before you came over, so if you could leave right now so I can get back to it, that would be great.
Maybe we can talk about what happened over the weekend at work tomorrow. For the record, I really am sorry I stood you up. I had every intention of being there, but...
He silenced me with a kiss, and I kissed him back with a passion I'd never felt before.
He reached down and untied my robe, pushing it off my shoulders and onto the floor. Smiling, he assaulted my mouth with his tongue again, using his hands to tug at the drawstring on my pants. All of a sudden, I felt a vibrating sound going off in my pocket. Before I could reach down and shut it off, he reached into my pants and pulled out my favorite purple friend. He examined it for a few seconds, blinking. Then he held it in front of my face and smirked.
Is this what I was interrupting?
It's been 4 years. 4 long years.
Claire.
He cupped my chin and held my face so I wouldn't be able to turn away.
Is this what you were doing?
I swallowed. Then I went for it. What if it was? A slow, sexy smile spread across his lips.
Then I think I should finish what you started.
He sealed his mouth over mine again and pressed me against the island, making it hard for me to breathe. I'd never been kissed like he was kissing me. It felt like I was having sex with my mouth. He was controlling my tongue with his, molding his perfectly full lips to mine, and biting down on my tongue whenever I tried to catch a breath. I felt him yanking my pants down, not being gentle about it at all. As soon as they hit the floor, he snatched his mouth away from mine and pulled my shirt over my head, tossing it across the room. "Come here," he said, as he lifted me on top of the counter. He pushed me onto my back, causing my cookbooks and folders to fall to the floor. Leaning over me, he fisted his hands in my hair, kissing me again and again. He kept his eyes locked on mine as he quickly stepped back to unbuckle his pants and pull out a condom. I gasped and sat up, panting as he unwrapped it. "You always come prepared to sleep with employees when they call off sick?" I looked down below his waist, and my eyes widened as far as they could go. His dick was twice the size of my ex-husband's. Oh, God. A hint of a smile played on his lips.
"Do you always use your sick days to stay at home and play with yourself?"
My cheeks burned bright red, and I was about to reply, but he grabbed me by my hips and pulled me closer. Lowering his voice, he looked directly into my eyes.
"Wrap your legs around me, so I can fuck you."
I went stiff. My conscience started to warn me about this, something about how it wasn't a good idea to sleep with my boss, my much younger boss. But I ignored it. I wrapped my legs around his waist and tried not to scream as he slowly entered me, as he stretched me way past my limit, filling me in places that I didn't even know existed. I felt him swelling inside of me, still trying to fit, and I couldn't hold back anymore. Oh, oh God.
"Is this how you treat people who ask you out?"
He was completely inside of me now, but he was keeping his dick still.
"Do you think that's a nice thing to do?"
I shook my head, exhaling as my body adjusted to his thickness. I wrapped my arms around his neck to steady myself and groaned as he kissed my neck. He ran his hands up and down my back and whispered,
"Are you sure that's not a nice thing to do, Claire?"
He didn't give me a chance to answer. He started sliding in and out of me, making me moan with each thrust, making me wish he would never stop. I tried to catch my breath.
You sure you don't like standing them up and making them come after you?
He picked up his pace, thrusting harder and harder, gripping my hips so I couldn't resist the tempo,
forcing them to wait for 2 hours.
Ah, my mind went blank. I heard him asking me more questions, something about him being upset, but I could only focus on how good this fucking felt. I shut my eyes and surrendered to his control, letting him make my body feel things it had never felt before. With his hands secured around my waist, he carried me over to the wall, still buried deep inside of me.
Don't move.
He pressed my ass against the wall and pounded into me repeatedly, making me cry out in unbearable pleasure. I tightened my legs around him as he continued his reckless rhythm, digging my nails into his back each time he plunged into me. He pressed his mouth against mine to muffle my loud cries, but his kiss only pushed me further to the edge. He thrust into me as deep as he could go, and my insides shattered into millions of pieces. My screams couldn't be contained. He found his own release seconds after, and we both slid down to the floor, panting. I sat still and let the cool wall press into my back, wincing as he pulled out of me. I was trying to focus on something else other than what had just happened, trying to float back down to Earth. I can't believe I did that. I just fucked the CEO. I moved past him and fumbled around for my robe, hastily tying it around my body. I ignored the wicked looks he was giving me as he stood up and readjusted his pants. I took a deep breath and rose to my feet, trying to find my words. I need a shower, and you need to go to your meeting, so...
You're kicking me out?
Yes. I walked over to the table and made sure his briefcase was closed before picking it up. Here's your briefcase. I picked Adstock number 18. Have a good day. He swooped down to kiss me, but I stepped back. I'll see you tomorrow, Mr. Statham. He laughed.
See you tomorrow, Claire.
I sat at my desk and stared blankly at the computer screen. All I could think about was yesterday's rendezvous with Jonathan, and how I should have let him stay for another hour or two. I wasn't sure if it felt so amazing because I hadn't had sex in such a long time, or if I should give him all the credit. I called Sandra.
Hey, are you busy?
Of course not, miss. I gave it up before the third date, she laughed. You never texted me back yesterday. How was it?
It was amazing. It was the best sex I've ever had in my life. Hands down.
Really? Better than sex with your ex-husband?
Hell yes.
Yes.
I was getting hot just thinking about it. Do you think if I call in sick tomorrow, he'll come over again?
What a turnaround from last week, she laughed.
Probably. I think he likes you.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of.
Oh, Claire, I've gotta go. I've got an emergency patient out front. I'll call you later.
She hung up and I reclined in my chair. Thanks to my constant fantasizing, I hadn't done much of anything all day, and I was considering going home early.
Claire?
Mr. Barnes stuck his head inside my door.
We've finally got an idea I think you're going to like.
I highly doubt that. I'll be right there. Give me 1 second. I waited until I was sure he was gone and slipped into another pair of panties under my desk. That's pair number 2, and it's not even noon. I walked outside my office, spotted the idea I was sure to like, and forced myself not to turn back around.
Mr. Barnes, I told you this ad was racist last week.
It's still racist. Look closer.
He brought the poster closer to my face.
It's not just African-American slaves now. We've got Caucasian slaves, Hispanic slaves, and Asian slaves. With chopsticks. Tell me that's not diversity.
Okay, I'm going home.
Stop. It was a joke. Show her the real poster, Tina.
His assistant put down the atrocity and held up a simple ad of an S-Phone Blue floating amongst the clouds. It read, "Light, airy, S-Blue."
"Wow! I like it," I smiled. "We may have to play with the words a bit, but the visual is spectacular."
"Finally, you actually like something," he laughed. "Could you run this up to Mr. Statham? He's in the art studio. He's been nagging me about updates all day."
"Why can't you do it?"
"I have a recommendation letter to write for Tina."
He looked at his watch.
"It's due in 2 hours."
"Why is he always so last minute?" I grabbed the poster and headed for the elevators. Even though I'd been thinking about Jonathan all day, I didn't want to see him at work unless I absolutely had to. I stepped off on the art floor and looked around. There was no one at any of the desks, and all the computers looked like they'd been sleeping for hours. I walked around to the photography room and saw Jonathan talking to a woman in a purple dress. He smiled at me as I entered, then he turned his attention back to her.
"You think we need to hire more senior photographers, Miss Blank? Won't that cause more friction?"
"Not at all," she shook her head. "We need new talent, too. Jillian is retiring this summer, and Bailey will be taking on extended maternity leave in March. At the very least, we could use 2 people on 1-year contracts.
"I'll definitely let HR know that tomorrow, Miss Blank. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. I'll see you tomorrow."
"See you tomorrow, Mr. Statham. Thanks for letting all of us take the rest of the day off." She blushed and walked out of the room. He waited until he heard the ping of the elevators to say anything to me.
"To what do I owe this surprise, Miss Grayson?"
"This is the latest idea from our department." I handed him the poster. "The words aren't set in stone yet, but we want to keep the visual."
"Yes, it's a very beautiful visual."
He wasn't even looking at it. I stepped back. "Could you please look at the board?"
"It looks good. I like the clouds. Happy? Now answer my question. Why are you up here?"
"Were you expecting Mr. Barnes?"
"I was. I've been calling him about this all day and wanted his insight on a few other things."
Oh, I backed away. "So you're interested in pursuing relations with male and female employees?" "Enlightening." He let out a low laugh.
"I'm only interested in 1 employee that works here. But I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be able to deal with her insulting me."
"Are you always this glib? It's a major turnoff for me."
"You know,"
he said as he rubbed his chin,
"I was thinking about asking you out again, but I don't want to be stood up twice."
"Well, don't ask, and you won't have to worry about that."
"I won't."
He locked his eyes on mine, pinning me to 1 spot, leaving me completely motionless. Shit, I need to change my panties again. He stood up and walked over to me, smiling as if he knew I was unable to move. He made a full circle around me and then he stopped and reached into his pocket.
"You kicked me out so fast yesterday that I left without giving you your little friend back."
He retrieved the vibrator and held it out for me.
"Are you going to take it?"
I blushed and reached for it, but he moved it away.
"I honestly don't think you need this anymore, Claire."
He rolled it around in his palm. "And why is that?"
"Because I'm more than willing to take its place, and I can guarantee that I'll do a much better job."
My panties were officially soaked. I should probably...
"Go?"
"Yes, I should go. I need to finish some work downstairs and get back to..."
"You don't have anything to do."
He pulled me into his arms and kissed me senseless. Before I could react, he slipped his fingers underneath my shirt and popped the snaps off my bra. He cupped the back of my neck with his hand, dipping his tongue deeper into my mouth, using his other hand to rub the small of my back.
"Shut the door,"
he whispered in between breaths. "What?" My eyes widened.
"Okay. Door open it is."
He continued kissing me, sliding my shirt off my shoulders, pushing me over to the table that lined the back of the wall. He slid his hands underneath my skirt and groaned, biting my bottom lip as I tried to break away. Then he tore his mouth away from mine.
"Bend over the desk."
I stilled. I wasn't sure whether he was serious or not. Sex right now? On company property? His company's property? I stood there blinking at him, thinking I'd interpreted that completely wrong. Claire. He spun me around so my back was to his front, so I was facing the wall. Bend over the desk. I hesitated, wishing I'd closed the door when he'd told me to. I tried to turn back around, but he wedged his knee in between my thighs and spread my legs apart. I hate repeating myself, he whispered in my ear, sending chills up and down my spine. Bend over. Right now. I gasped, slowly bending over the desk, pressing my stomach against the flat surface.
Grab onto the edge,
he ordered, and I obliged. I felt him pushing my skirt up and moving my panties to the side, letting out a low laugh when he felt how wet I was. I heard the sound of foil paper crumpling behind me and tried to brace myself for his length. I didn't get a chance to take another breath before he slid completely into me, holding me by my waistline. Let's see if I can make you come like this. He worked himself into a slow grind, alternating his deep thrusts with short kisses against my neck. As I adjusted to his length, hanging on to the table for support, and spreading my legs even wider. He moved his hands up to my breasts and palmed them. Rough. He pinched my nipples, twisting and pulling them harshly, giving me pain and pleasure at the same time. I cried as his thrusts went even deeper, as he held me firm and prevented me from squirming.
"Do you still need your purple friend?"
he murmured against my ear.
"Does he fuck you better?"
Ah.
"Answer me."
I couldn't. His thrusts were too much. He was starting to speed up and my body was quaking at the unfamiliar sensations.
"So you do need him?"
he asked again, and I heard the familiar sound of my vibrator humming against my leg. I tried to answer him, tried to say no, but the next thing I felt was Jonathan holding the vibrator against my clit, on the highest setting. "Please," I cried out.
"Please?"
He kept holding it right there, simultaneously pounding into me with no mercy.
"That's not what I asked you."
Oh, oh, I was about to combust. I could feel it. I tried to reach down and push the vibrator away, to ease some of the pressure away. But his hands were way too strong.
"Answer me, Claire."
He kissed my neck.
"Do you still need your little friend?"
"No, no," I screamed as my body shuddered and convulsed against him. "No." I held on to the edge of the table as the last tremors moved through me, as I waited for my heart rate to slow down. I thought that was it, that was my orgasm for the day, for the year, and that he would let me go so I could recover. But he didn't. He dropped the vibrator to the floor and started moving into me with a different rhythm, a slower one, and a different set of tremors began to course their way through me. I groaned as he caressed my hips, as he kissed my shoulders, showing me a completely different side of him. I clenched my insides, trying to savor the feeling of the more passionate thrusts, but it was no use. My body gave out once again and I collapsed onto the table, moaning as he pumped into me a few more times to reach his own release. My legs felt numb, wobbly. They weren't going to hold up much longer. My heart was racing a million miles a minute, and my chest was heaving uncontrollably.
"Let go of the table, Claire,"
Jonathan whispered in my ear. I pried my fingers from the edge one by one, and felt myself being pulled down to the floor with him. I didn't even try to look composed. I sat still, shirtless, with my skirt bunched around my waist. We were both inhaling and exhaling at the same rate, trying to steady our breathing for what felt like an eternity. I looked over at him and noticed that he was staring at me, watching my every breath. I wasn't sure if I should say something or not, but he reached over and grabbed my hand, softly caressing it, as he looked into my eyes. When he saw me reaching for my bra, he grabbed it and slid the straps back over my shoulders, smiling. He pressed them into place. "Turn around." I slowly shifted my body and felt him resnapping the hooks, planting kisses across my back. Once I stopped feeling his lips against my skin, I turned around to find him staring at me again, giving me the same look that started this lusty session. Without breaking gaze with me, he picked up his phone and tapped the screen.
Hello? Angela? Yes. Could you please tell the board that I'm sorry for being late to today's meeting? Right. Could you tell them I'm on my way? Thank you very much.
He reached over and ran his fingertips along the silver necklace I was wearing, gently tugging the red flag pendant that hung from it.
Silver looks really good on you.
He stood up and walked towards the door. Thank you. I guess I'll see you late. I stopped mid-sentence once I realized that he wasn't walking out of the door. He was shutting it.
You're not leaving?
No. He smiled.
I just thought the door needed to be shut for round two.
Chapter 8. Claire.
Well, someone looks quite refreshed tonight, Helen laughed. I wonder why.
Shut up, Helen, I rolled my eyes. How long is this going to take?
Not long. I told him to meet us here at 8:30, so he has 5 more minutes before he's officially late.
I took a sip of my wine and tried to concentrate on the task at hand. Helen and I were meeting with a travel agent to put the final details together for Sandra's surprise birthday trip. Ever since I'd befriended the two of them, I'd realized that they took their birthdays very seriously. It wasn't enough to have a simple night on the town or plan a small weekend getaway. Their birthdays needed to be celebrated for at least a week, and staying in the country was never an option.
"Good evening, ladies," a bald man in a black suit walked over to our table. "I'm Henry Thompson from Signature Travel. I understand you wanted to go over the itinerary one last time before purchasing your summer vacation."
"Yes," we said in unison.
"All right, let's get started then."
He handed us both a folder.
"If you look on page 3, that's where I've highlighted the basics. Since this is a surprise for Miss Sandra, we're going to have the limo pick her up on that Saturday and take her to the airport. Once she's there, she'll meet the two of you and..."
Helen looked over at me, raising her eyebrow, and then she snapped her fingers at Mr. Thompson.
"I thought we agreed that we weren't doing any air travel. We just want to cruise. That was the whole point of the trip?"
"Oh, I wasn't aware that the entire trip was supposed to be on the ocean. But we can surely arrange that for you. You do know that'll be an additional $2,000 each, right?"
He cleared his throat.
"If you forfeit the air travel, you're going to have to take a private cruise liner to the port in Florida."
I almost choked. "Did you just say 2,000?
"Not a problem," Helen intervened. "I'm paying for everything anyway. Is there a way you could change what needs to be changed while we're here, so we can sign off on it tonight?"
"Sure. There's an internet cafe right across the street. Can you give me 10 minutes?
Helen nodded and he walked away.
"Helen, $2,000 in addition to the original $3,000 each? That's a bit much, don't you think?
I don't think I'll be able to afford..."
"Get over it, Claire. I said I was paying for everything and we all deserve this trip, especially you. Oh, and guess what the best part is?
Does it involve men?"
"You know me so well. The week we're going is the same week the Chippendale dancers are having their annual strippers retreat. How great is that? You should be bowing in my presence."
"You are a true piece of work, Helen." I felt my phone vibrate and saw a text message. "Jonathan, photography room, tomorrow, 5 o'clock. You should wear something similar to what you have on right now." I paled. "He's here?"
"Claire," Helen fanned herself, "why aren't you bowing?"
"I think Jonathan's here. I don't want to turn around. Can you look around and let me know if you see him?"
She turned around in her chair and looked all around. No, I don't see him. Did he text you or something?"
I nodded.
"I think I like him already," she smiled. "You should know that Sandra and I have a running bet on how long this affair will last.
Do I dare ask what the time limit is?"
"I bet at least a year."
"A year?
Please.
That's a joke, right?"
"Not at all," she pulled out her phone.
I did some research on him the other day. For your benefit, of course. I couldn't find anything on him before he dropped out of Harvard, though. Anyway, he seems like a good match for you. Temporarily, anyway. His net worth is $9.5 billion. He's only had two or three known girlfriends. The last one was over a year ago, and I don't have any prior arrests or embarrassing public incidents on my record. His voice sounded from right behind me, and the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. Took the words right out of my mouth. Helen grinned. Nice seeing you again, Helen. He ran his fingers against my bare shoulders. Same to you, Jonathan. Would you like to sit down with us? He walked from behind me and smiled. No, thank you. I need to get back upstairs to my meeting. I'll see you tomorrow, Claire. He looked me up and down before walking away. I can't believe you, Helen. I shook my head. You did see him, didn't you? Yeah, but he motioned for me not to say anything. She laughed. I am definitely going to win this bet. We have to tell Sandra about this.
So, team, we have narrowed the S-Phone Blue slogans down to two contenders. This week we'll need to meet with the beta team regarding the newest tablets and data projects. We also need to plan our commercial shoots, so we can...
I couldn't focus on anything Mr. Barnes was saying. I was in a state of euphoria, and no matter how hard I tried to rejoin my co-workers in the real world, it never happened. Every day for the past 2 weeks, I'd been having sex with Jonathan after business hours. At first, we were meeting in the photography room, but after the photographers started hosting later meetings, we took things to wherever an empty space was available. Stairwells, janitors' closets, employee lounges. There were no deep conversations between us, no eye-opening revelations about our lives. It was just sex. Pure, mind-blowing, out-of-this-world sex. It was like he knew my body better than I did. I'd never had multiple orgasms in my life. Ever. I'd never thought having so much sex was possible, or that sex could be that incredible. I mean, sex with Ryan was good, but it never left me getting hot just thinking about it. Never left me completely ravaged and on cloud nine for hours after. Jonathan was an Adonis in bed. Well, we hadn't actually had sex in a bed, but he was amazing nonetheless. All it took was one glance from him. One slight brush against my skin after a group meeting, and I was wet and ready to go.
Miss Grayson? Miss Grayson!
Mr. Barnes shot me a quizzical look. Yes? I reluctantly snapped out of my thoughts.
Do you want to introduce the intern's presentations?
Certainly, Mr. Barnes. I stood up and looked around the table. All the interns were given the task of coming up with a commercial for the S-Phone Blue with animation. We have two groups that are going to present, and they each have 10 minutes. At the end of the presentations, we need each of you to send an email to myself and Mr. Barnes about which one you feel will better fit the campaign. I sat back down and tried not to roll my eyes. While the first group was setting up their presentation, Jonathan walked into the room.
Hello, everyone. He smiled. You all don't mind if I sit in for this, do you?
There were murmurs of, not at all, of course, and sure. He walked around the table and once again took a seat directly in front of me. Mr. Barnes beamed.
Miss Turner, could you please pass Mr. Statham a copy of the PowerPoints, please?
She walked towards him, blushing bright red, and handed Jonathan a folder. He nodded his head and smiled at her, making her face turn crimson. The lights dimmed, and Jonathan's eyes immediately met mine across the table. He was giving me his, I want you right now, look. And I couldn't deal with that right now. Not in the middle of the day, not in front of all of my colleagues. I swiveled my chair around and exhaled, watching the first few minutes of a presentation that was shockingly well done. I felt my phone vibrating and opened the text. Jonathan, turn back around, now. Only if you agree to stop looking at me. I don't want other people sensing that we are sleeping together, and I can't focus with you eyeing me.
I don't give a fuck what they think. Turn around.
Pay attention to the presentation. You might learn something.
I clapped at the end of the first presentation and prepared to take notes on the second, but I received another text from him. If you don't turn around within the next 60 seconds, I swear I will walk around this table and fuck you in front of everyone. My heart fluttered. I figured he had to be bluffing. He wouldn't risk his reputation on something so reckless and trivial. I kept listening to the interns and writing down my thoughts. 30 seconds, Claire. I stifled a gasp and texted him back. You wouldn't dare. Try me.
All right, everyone, Mr. Barnes said. Thanks to both intern teams for outstanding work. Directors, make sure you email me and Miss Grayson what you think before you leave for the day. It's now time for our weekly Zen session, so we need to head on over to the relaxation room.
I closed my notebook and breathed a sigh of relief. I followed my team across the hall and into a room full of tacky, sea-colored beanbags. As usual, one of the directors turned off the lights, and Mr. Barnes lit the three huge Zen candles that stood at the front of the room. We were supposed to find our way to the beanbag that spoke to us and sit on it for 1 hour of meditation in the dark. Of course, most of the time people just turned on their music and fell asleep, especially me. I headed towards my secluded spot in the back corner and started to sit down, but I felt Jonathan wrapping his arms around my waist. Before I could tell him to stop, he bent down and kissed me until I was out of breath.
You're lucky it's so dark in here, he whispered. Next time I'll do it in the conference room, for everyone to see.
Hi. He kissed me again and pulled me close.
Shh. Don't talk. For everyone that doesn't have their own relaxation music, Mr. Barnes's voice was coming from the front of the room, please put on the Zen headphones now. I'm going to start playing the ocean music through them in about 10 seconds. You should probably try to be as quiet as possible.
Jonathan pulled me over to the corner and slid his hands underneath my skirt.
He can't be serious.
Jonathan, stop. This is crazy. My breath caught in my throat. Do you know how many people are in here? You wouldn't.
You brought this on yourself.
He kissed me and pulled me down onto a beanbag. I tore my mouth away from his and tried to stand up, using my hands to push off from the floor. But he snaked his arm around my waist and pulled me close.
I'm starting the Zen music now, Mr. Barnes said. Remember, no talking and no cell phone usage, please. Oh, and remember to take deep breaths and...
The rest of his sentence came out muffled. I couldn't focus. Jonathan was kissing me relentlessly, not giving me a chance to pull away. When he'd taken every ounce of breath that I had, he pushed my dress up past my thighs and positioned me to straddle his lap. I heard him unbuckling his pants and unwrapping a condom, so I tried to get up again, but one of his arms was still tightly snaked around me.
Jonathan, I whispered, think about this. I have,
he said as he slipped two fingers inside of me.
I've been thinking about it all day.
He moved them in and out a few times, and then he brought his mouth close to my ear,
and from the feel of things, you've been thinking about it too.
I suppressed a moan as he placed a kiss on my neck, as he tilted me up and slowly lowered me onto his dick.
Ah, ah, ah.
Shh. He tugged at my bottom lip with his teeth and grabbed my hands, placing them on the wall behind him.
You have to be quiet, or they'll hear us. All right, one last thing, everyone, Mr. Barnes was still talking. Remember, if anyone is caught talking, or if someone's cell phone goes off, I'll have to turn on the lights and we'll have to do the session in the light, without the power of the candles. So, don't be selfish. The Zen system benefits us all.
I pressed my hands against the wall, exhaling as Jonathan pushed the top of my dress down and drew one of my nipples into his mouth.
Claire.
He rubbed his hands across my back, pulling me close, and then he whispered in my ear,
Move.
I sucked in a breath and rocked against him, trying not to moan as he rolled his tongue around one of my nipples. He was teasing it gently, matching the same up and down rhythm I was using with my hips. I tried to go as slow as I possibly could, knowing that if I sped up, I would end up screaming and everyone would see me grinding against our boss. I exhaled each time I sank down, over and over. But it must not have been good enough for Jonathan, because he suddenly cupped my ass and moved me up and down himself at a much faster pace. Ah, oh, God, stop, I whispered. No. He trapped my bottom lip between his teeth, squeezing my cheeks even harder, bouncing me against him with no finesse. I let out another moan and heard a loud beeping sound from the front of the room, the sound that meant someone was talking. If it went off again, the lights would automatically come on. So, you're into other people watching? Jonathan whispered against my mouth. I'm not opposed to that. He pressed his lips against mine and kissed me to prevent me from making another sound. He started flexing himself upwards, still holding and controlling my pace with his hands. I couldn't take it anymore. I felt an orgasm building inside of me, felt it getting ready to make me scream, so I broke away from Jonathan's kiss. I'm about to, I murmured. He leaned forward and bit down on my lips. Hard. My legs started to shake, and severe vibrations rippled through my entire body as the intense pleasure rolled through me. I tried to push myself away from him so I could exhale, scream, breathe, but he didn't let my mouth go until my body stiffened and stilled. When he was sure I was done, he released my lips and leaned back against the wall. I slumped forward against his chest, panting, too angry to think straight. I sat there, still on top of him, wondering if I was dreaming, or if he was really that crazy. "Let me help you," I heard him say as he gently moved me off of him. "You're quite the exhibitionist." He wiped a cloth between my thighs. I assumed it was his suit's handkerchief, and kissed my forehead as he did it. Then he pulled my dress back over my thighs and ran his fingers through my hair. I heard him zipping his pants up and buckling his belt. I could barely see his face in the darkness, but I could feel him staring at me, like he always did when we were finished. I tried to channel my anger and confusion into something else, anything else, but the ocean sounds and blasting headphone music in the room were way too loud. There were even a few people snoring. "Follow me." He grabbed my hand and pulled me up. He pushed a panel in the wall that was behind us, leading me into a dark room with a wooden conference table. He quietly slid the panel back into place and locked it. "Let's eat lunch together." "What?" He must have noticed the look on my face because he smiled. "It'll only take 30 minutes of your time. The Zen session will be over by then." I was speechless. I couldn't believe the nerve of him to literally fuck me in a room full of my closest colleagues and then have the audacity to suggest lunch. "I'll have our lunch brought in here." He started drawing the blinds open. "What do you want to eat?" I didn't answer. "Claire?" He turned around. "You know I'm not a huge fan of unanswered questions." "A grilled chicken salad. Hold the sex, please." He laughed and pulled his phone out of his pocket. "Does every room at Statham Industries have a secret hidden passage?" I asked.
"No, not all of them. Just the executive ones. They're more of a fire safety measure. But they clearly come in handy for other things."
I rolled my eyes and sat at the table.
"Angela, could you have someone bring me 2 grilled chicken salads and 2 sweet teas to the executive ensuite on level 24? You're the best. Thanks."
He sat across from me.
"The door to your left leads out into the hallway, by the way."
Duly noted.
"Are you upset with me?"
"I don't know what I am. I'm not sure how I should feel after being fucked in front of all my coworkers."
"Elated, maybe?"
"There are a lot of words that come to mind. That definitely isn't one of them."
"Well, next time just turn around. I'm sure no one saw anything. Most of them were falling asleep." "Can I ask you something?"
"Go ahead."
"Do you ever do the dating thing, or do you just stand people up whenever they ask you out?"
"I don't do the dating thing."
"Why not?"
I shrugged. "I don't want to be disappointed again, if you know what I mean." I started thinking about Ryan and immediately steered the conversation away.
"Do you do the dating thing?" "I've been trying to. The woman I'm currently after is the most difficult woman I've ever pursued."
"She's probably out of your league. Why don't you just date a supermodel?"
Not interested. I've done that before.
Oh. Well, why not an actress? There was a knock at the door.
I did that before, too. There's not much substance in any of those women, honestly, but I can't really blame them. They become just like everyone else in the industry.
He opened the door and retrieved our lunch. As he carried the boxes back over to the table, he looked at me.
I know this is random, but I've been meaning to ask you this. Do you have a fascination with white and red flags?
What?
Your necklaces and the charm bracelets you wear. All of them have red and white triangle flags.
Oh, no, I wouldn't call it a fascination. I just like flags.
Interesting.
He passed me my salad and tea, and the two of us ate in complete silence. Every now and then I would look up at him and he would smile, despite the fact that I was upset with him for what he'd pulled minutes ago. I couldn't help but smile back. It was strange for me to actually enjoy being around someone in silence, but he and I slipped into silence all the time. With anyone else, it usually felt boring or awkward, but with him, it always felt natural.
Thank you for lunch, I stood up once I was done. It was very sweet of you, but we're not doing it again.
Why not?
Because whatever this is between you and I is strictly physical. I get mine and you get yours. That's it.
Okay, Claire.
He smirked. I mean it. I put on my best non-negotiable face. This is strictly about sex.
I'm not doubting you. But if you keep standing there and looking at me like that, you may not make it back downstairs.
I rolled my eyes and walked out of the room.
Monday was the best and worst day of the week. Best, because it meant that after a weekend without any sex, it was finally going to start up again. Worst, because Mr. Barnes insisted on scheduling the bulk of our meetings and presentations on that day. However, this particular Monday was worse than usual, because I didn't get one second to relax over the weekend. I spent my entire Saturday standing on the Golden Gate Bridge, shooting three different versions of the S-Phone Blue commercial. We did take after take after take, and once it was finally perfected, the director realized he'd been shooting with the wrong camera. So we had to do it all over again. On Sunday, my team and I spent 18 hours going through stock footage, trying to come up with promotion strategies for Statham Industries' newest product, the S-Tablet. By the time I arrived to work on Monday, I was a walking zombie. I sat through endless meetings, intern contracts, publicity revamps, beta research, etc., etc. I didn't bother taking a lunch break, because two clients requested me at the last minute to help with their pitches. When my last meeting was over, I was completely slammed. I tried drinking a few cups of coffee to perk myself up, but there was no effect whatsoever. It wasn't until a little after 5 when I noticed a text Jonathan had sent hours ago. My secretary went home early so we can use my office today. You can come up whenever you like. I packed all my things away and freshened myself up in the bathroom, hoping that a few hours with him would be all I needed to gain some energy. I took the elevator up to the top floor and knocked.
Good afternoon, Claire.
He opened the door and ushered me inside. I looked around his office and tried not to seem utterly impressed. It was 10 times the size of my office, and there were doors that led to other rooms on all 4 walls. On the wall to my right was a floor-to-ceiling bookcase that was filled with hardcover books. To my left was a projector screen that covered the entire wall and a seating area for 10. His massive metal desk was centered in front of the floor-to-ceiling windows, and there was a huge white luxury sofa in the corner. He put his hands on my shoulders and raised his eyebrow.
Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Yes. Why wouldn't I be?
No reason.
He led me over to the sofa and sat down next to me. He held my face in his hands and looked deep into my eyes before kissing me. I thought he was going to take off my clothes or lay me against the couch, but he pulled me into his lap and began massaging my shoulders.
How was your day today?
He asked. It was okay, I murmured.
And how did your promo shoots go over the weekend?
Good. Very good. I closed my eyes, focusing on the soft rhythm of his hands, and then everything went black. I felt fingers running through my hair, a hand caressing my face. I opened my eyes and realized I was lying in Jonathan's lap.
I fell asleep.
Is sex with me that boring? He looked down at me and smiled. You can tell me, you know. We can work on it.
I'm sorry. I'm just really exhausted and I...
No need to apologize. I knew you were tired when you came in. Turn over.
I groggily rolled over and he started massaging my back.
Long day?
Long weekend. I think I've had 7 hours of sleep over the past 3 days. Promo sweeps are the worst part of being a marketing director, because the clients expect so much. We were on the bridge all day Saturday and here all day yesterday. It probably didn't help that we kept ordering takeout food every 3 hours.
You should have called me. I would have had a chef team stationed here for you all.
You wouldn't have done that. I exhaled as he pressed his palms into my back. This feels so good.
I would have, especially if I had known you were here.
Good to know, but calling you and talking to you on the phone fall outside of the strictly sex rule. Remember?
I don't think there's anything wrong with us talking on the phone, Claire. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call you tomorrow night and you're going to answer.
I'll think about it. I heard him laugh, and then I felt his hands move further down my back.
I think you should call in sick tomorrow and get some rest,
he said. So you can show up to my house uninvited?
No.
He planted a kiss on the back of my shoulder.
It's because you really need to catch up on your sleep. You're no good to the company if you're this exhausted.
Oh, well, I'll consider that.
Good.
Chapter 9. Jonathan. My secretary called my line.
Mr. Statham?
Yes.
Your mother is here for lunch, sir.
Send her in, please. Seconds later, my mother came into my office wearing a pale gray suit. Her makeup was done to perfection, and it looked like she'd been taking care of herself for all of 1 month. Her light blue eyes still looked as clear and optimistic as they did on her graduation day, but I wasn't getting my hopes up. She'd relapsed way too many times for me to actually believe she'd change. She sat down at the desk, and my eyes veered towards the small box that was protruding from her jacket. "I thought you said you quit smoking," I sighed.
"Yeah, crystal meth, not cigarettes. They're practically harmless."
I shook my head and grabbed the cigarettes out of her pocket. Dropping one bad habit for another isn't the best idea. Do you want me to buy you some nicotine patches?
Why would I want that, Jonathan?
So you can stop killing yourself and live to see 60?
Oh, you're a health expert now? I guess being a billionaire makes you think you know everything, huh?
Everyone knows smoking is bad for you. It's on the damn box. I should have never agreed to this.
But it's even worse for a former meth head, right? I bet me being here embarrasses the hell out of you, doesn't it?
I bet you don't want any of your rich little friends to see that your drugged-out mommy is once again fresh out of rehab and...
Okay, just stop. Stop right now.
I shook my head. I agreed to meet you once a week for your benefit, not mine. So, if you plan on coming up here to make me feel guilty about being successful, you're wasting your time. We should just try this again next week.
What?
She looked hurt.
You want me to leave?
Yes, now.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say any of that. It's just that sometimes I'm so out of it because I don't have a real outlet anymore, and... I'm so sorry, Jonathan.
It's okay. We'll just try again next week. I walked over and hugged her. We need to do this right if we're going to do it at all. I don't want to be frustrated with you, and I don't want you frustrated with me. Just leave the cigarettes in your car next time. She gave me a half smile.
Okay, I'll see you next week.
I walked her out of my office and hit the elevator button for her. As soon as she was gone, I crashed behind my desk and held my head in my hands. My mother was the only person who could get under my skin in a matter of seconds. No matter how hard I tried to be polite, how hard I tried to be helpful, she always had something negative to say, as if I was the one who ruined her life. She'd done that to herself, and I was still extremely angry with her for not realizing that. I often wondered why she couldn't have been a normal mother who actually gave a shit about her kids,
one who helped with homework, and actually made dinner from time to time. Instead, my mother and my father were passed out high most of the time, leaving me and my little sister starving, forcing me to go dumpster diving late at night for my neighbor's leftovers. I'd wasted way too many years worrying about my parents,